Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're talking about banquets today. We'll have a little banquet for Father's Day after the service to celebrate God's gift of fathers. God, our Father, who is the pattern for all earthly fatherhood. We heard in the reading from Proverbs about a banquet, that wisdom herself sets out a banquet of knowledge and wisdom, knowledge not of anything and everything, but knowledge of the Lord, wisdom in His word and faith. Jesus spoke of a banquet that a man held, a great banquet to which he invited many people. He spoke that parable in the midst of a mini banquet, in a mini Sabbath supper at the home of a Pharisee who had invited Jesus not to hear him, not to learn from him, but to spy on him and watch him along with his other Pharisee friends. It wasn't a friendly atmosphere in which Jesus told his parable of the banquet. But Jesus took the opportunity and almost turned the tables on the Pharisees who were there to get him. First, he took the opportunity to heal a man, a crippled man who had come in, and it was a Sabbath, and the Pharisees didn't like doing things on the Sabbath except for having banquets, I suppose. So Jesus challenged them to prove that he had done something wrong by healing this man on the Sabbath, and they couldn't. Then Jesus noticed how they each chose the best places for themselves at the banquet, the best seats, how each one was looking out for himself. And through another parable, he taught them how sinful that attitude was of self-seeking, self-serving. He taught them that God exalts the humble, but humbles those who exalt themselves. And then finally, Jesus saw how they had invited all of their rich friends and their rich neighbors, and he told them, don't do that. When you throw a banquet, he said, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And the people at the banquet looked at him and thought he was nuts. Well, okay, maybe we would be blessed, happy, if we invited poor, crippled, blind, and lame people, but that doesn't sound like what we want to do. So one of them said to Jesus, the first verse of our text, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, we may be blessed if we invited those people, but we're all blessed because we're Pharisees. And we obey the law, and we're good and decent people. And we will be there at Abraham's banquet eating bread in the kingdom of God. Aren't we blessed? They had their minds on a magical and imaginary kingdom up there in heaven somewhere, sitting next to a God that they made up and imagined too. They imagined sitting down at a banquet with this God up there in heaven somewhere, and the irony is that God was reclining at the table with them that day. God had come down from heaven and was sitting with them at this banquet. Here was the kingdom of heaven, Jesus. They missed it. They didn't want it. They didn't want a banquet where Jesus was everything. And yet that's the point. The banquet is where Jesus is. The kingdom of God is where Jesus is. Not out there somewhere with a God that you make up and want to worship in your own way. The banquet is spread for you, right in front of you. So Jesus tells them this parable of the great banquet. He says, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. the man, the master of the banquet, is God the Father. And the banquet that he gave was the banquet of his Son. He spread the table and brought out one course after another: peace, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation, joy, adoption as God's children. All the grace and favor of God laid out on the table, all wrapped up in the person of Christ. This was the banquet. And there is none other. There is no other banquet going on for all eternity. People will be very disappointed when they find out that hell isn't one big party. The banquet is the one where Jesus is. And those who were invited to this banquet before it was time for the banquet, before the banquet was even ready or held, were the Old Testament Jewish people. God had been sending out invitations for almost 2,000 years through his prophets, inviting them to come to this banquet that wasn't ready yet, but would be. The banquet is coming. You're invited, you and your children and your children's children. The banquet's coming. The Christ is coming. Here are some signs that will let you know that the banquet is getting closer. That's all the prophecies that we talk about in the Old Testament about Jesus. Christ is coming. Be ready when he comes, so that when he comes, you're there at the banquet. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." The time for the banquet was the coming of Jesus, his being born of the Virgin Mary, his life, his preaching and teaching and healing, his words spoken from God the Father himself, and though not yet when he told this parable, still wrapped up in the picture of the banquet, Jesus' suffering, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, his rising and ascending to heaven and sitting at God's right hand. That's the banquet. There is no other. And it was ready. Satisfaction for all sins had been made when Jesus died. Atonement, full payment. Nothing else had to be prepared. No other sacrifice had to be brought or has to be brought to God. That was it. Everything is now ready. That's the invitation. Come. Next week, June 24th, is the festival of the Nativity of John the Baptist. We'll celebrate that here. We'll celebrate it mainly because of this, that John was the very first prophet whom God sent to say to the Jews, "Come, for everything is now ready. Come, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus preached the same thing. His apostles preached the same thing. All preachers of the gospel preached the same thing. Come, for everything is now ready. But when the messengers went out in the parable, the invited guests all came up with their own excuses for why they didn't want to come to this particular banquet. "I bought a field. I bought some oxen. I got married. Can't come. Please have us excused from the banquet." And you notice that those things that they talked about, the reasons why they didn't want to come to this banquet, aren't sinful reasons of themselves. It's not wrong to work. It's not wrong to spend time with your wife or with your family. But when the gospel call comes, "Here is Christ. Repent and believe in him," many people find better things to do. That's not the banquet they want to attend. Like it's not the banquet the Pharisees wanted to attend, though they had Jesus right there in front of them, right there in their midst. They wanted a different kind of banquet where it's with their friends and their family that they're concerned, where the banquet can be more about them rather than about Jesus. So the Pharisees turned down the invitation to this banquet that was right in front of their eyes. And Jesus teaches us clearly here that this is always how it will be with the gospel. When the gospel goes out and is preached, the gospel of Christ that says, here is God's forgiveness in Christ, most people will turn down the invitation and have better things to do. We should expect nothing less. Most will imagine a different version of heaven. Not this one, where it's just about Jesus, where it all revolves around him. Most people want a heaven that revolves around them. So, in the parable, when the servant reports this refusal on the part of the invited guest, the master of the house, it says, became angry. Now, isn't that something? All the sins, the horrible things people do, the horrible things that live in your heart too, all those things aren't what made the master of the house angry. Aren't what makes God angry. They do make him angry. All sin makes God angry. But see, he poured out his anger on the cross and there offers a shelter from his anger. So all the horrible things people do, God is willing to forgive all of it because here's the shelter. Here is Christ. But when people don't want the shelter, when people don't want Christ, they want something else, something more, something different than that. That the Father will not tolerate. So, what's his first action? Retribution? No, although Matthew's parable does talk about retribution against those who turn down the invitation. But his first act is to fill his house. Go out, he says to his servant, quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. You heard that before. Those are the ones Jesus told the Pharisees, you'll be blessed if you invite the poor and crippled, the blind and the lame. Same words. Why? Because that's what your Father does. The Father doesn't invite people discriminating on either the color of their skin or how much they have in their wallet or what they've done or haven't done even. The Father invites the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Those are the ones who end up at the banquet, not the good and decent people usually. Think about that. It's not that the people who are invited are all poor, crippled, blind, and lame physically. They may or may not be. But the ones who end up at the banquet are all poor, crippled, blind, and lame on the inside because God dwells with sinners, and that's all he's chosen to dwell with. Sinners, because sinners need Jesus, and where Jesus is, God is, and so you can't separate them. God dwells with sinners and invites sinners, miserable sinners, to dine with him, to feast with him, and enjoy his grace and favor by believing in Jesus. And those are the only sinners who know their sins according to the Ten Commandments. Those are the only ones who are even happy with a banquet that's all and only about Jesus as the host and even as the meal. So the servant goes out to bring in the poor, crippled, blind, and lame, as the gospel goes out from the mouth of every preacher since then. But he comes back and says, still there is room. Isn't that good news? I don't know if there's room for me. Still there is room. And as long as this gospel is preached on the face of this earth, those words will be true. When Jesus comes, then they will not be true anymore. Then the house will be full, and there will be no more room, and then there won't be room for you if you're not in the house and at the banquet. But now there is. Now there's room. Because this is the Father's house, and the door is open because the door is Christ, and he's being preached. And since he's being preached, here he is in his word. The master of the house gives the order to his servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. The servant is to compel people to come in. That doesn't mean dragging them in, kicking and screaming into church. Although if you're a father, and you still have children living in your house, you should drag them kicking and screaming even if they don't want to come. That's one of the joys of fatherhood. You drag them kicking and screaming. It's not about whether they want to come or not. You're a father. This is what you do. As long as you have that authority over them, as long as they live in your house, after that there's not much you can do. But while you got them, you drag them in. You compel them to come in. But even then, you can't compel them to believe the message. You can't compel them into the kingdom or to want Jesus or to believe in Jesus. So what do we do? How do the servants compel people to come in? All they do is they set the law of God, the commandments of God, before the eyes of hardened sinners. And they say, look, here's you. You're a sinner. And they hold the gospel of forgiveness before the eyes of terrified sinners. And that is the compelling. It urges people who feel terrible about their sins, who know that they're sinners, look, everything is now ready. Here is Christ. Don't turn him down. And then the Holy Spirit takes over and does what he will do. And then soon, the rooms of the house will be full and the banquet hall will be filled. And then it will go from being a banquet that we enter by faith into being a banquet that we experience by sight. Jesus ends the parable today with a warning, and so we will conclude in the same way. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. In the end, when it's too late, when this gospel isn't preached anymore, then the banquet hall will be filled and there will be no more room. Then those who turn down the invitation here in this life, where this gospel is preached and where these sacraments are administered, they won't ever, ever taste the banquet of God. And they will know what it is to be locked out of the house of God forever. Don't let that be you. Instead, hear the invitation today, hear it every week. And if you hear and believe this word of Christ and take the sacrament with you today in your mouth and in your stomach too, the banquet goes with you during the week. You don't leave Christ. You don't stop believing in him during the week. I hope you don't. I hope it doesn't go in one ear today and then out the other as you lead your life and then you come back and then you leave the banquet again. This banquet is something you can celebrate all the time. And then the people around you can see that you're celebrating something even in the midst of terrible things. And they might just ask why. And that might just be the opportunity you have to open your mouth and invite them too. But now you're here. And now you're hearing the word and the invitation again, this gospel of Jesus and forgiveness and life and salvation. And here is the table spread again. Trust in him. And feast with him until he comes. And then the banquet will really get going. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.